Across the new sun.
Miranda!
Yeah?
The message was that there were boats launched to the north and south?
Right. I can't be certain of numbers. Dolphins don't seem to look at counting in the same way that we do, but I think more than one boat.
Did they talk about disturbances?
Volcanoes and quakes and that stuff? Yeah, quite often. But it's real common around here. The Keys are at the center of a major fault line.
Nothing new?
No. But I've brought them all in for safety, to the inner harbor. Pirates shoot them as soon as look at them, and the bottlenoses are so damn friendly.
There's none of them out there now.
No, Ryan, none. No need, is there?
Guess not. Just that cloud over to the east is swelling real big.
Here they come.
Yeovil had learned his lesson about trying it small and quiet. This time, it was big and loud.
War wag.
Two small armored wags, one from the south and one in the dust behind the war wag. 20 or 30 with blasters, skirmish line on foot. Dean.
What?
The sea. Go check out the horizon all around and report back to me, now.
Dean went from standing still to a flat-out sprint without any apparent intervening stage. Yeovil had chosen the direct route, as Ryan had figured he might. There was only one minor obstacle between the attackers and the Institute. The dirt road from the main highway crossed a creek bed, which was dry at this time of year. It was about 40 feet wide and less than 10 feet deep, with a wooden trestle bridge running over it from west to east. From the main gate of the Institute to the bridge was roughly 100 yards.
The war wag stopped. Traitor would have had someone's gut for bootlaces if one of our war wags had sounded like that.
I hate sloppy. Hate it.
The wag looked as though it might have started life as an M548B tracked cargo carrier, built on an old M113 chassis. But from the sound of the engine, it had obviously been converted, with only partial success, from diesel to gas. Ryan saw with immense relief that it wasn't one of that model of wag that carried either the Chaparral or Hawk missiles. There was the stump of a 107mm mortar on the turret, but it looked to be sawed off and defunct.
Browning machine gun. Normally carry about 2,000 rounds of ammo. Do us some harm if they got the caliber. Not easy to find. Could maybe try to convert it to something more common. Can't tell from here.
Why have they stopped?
Tomlin was carrying an M16, as were most of his people. At Ryan's insistence, they'd all changed out of their habitual white coats.
Just taking a look, I guess. I reckon I could put one through that ob slit at the front, Ryan. Is it worth a try?
No. Hold back showing them what we can do. And I don't want the driver taken out. Not yet. Not until after they reach the bridge.
Obviously satisfied with what he'd seen, Red Jack Yeovil had ordered his small army to advance. The war wag in the lead flanked the two smaller vehicles, kicking up enough dust to conceal the men and women who were darting in behind them. Ryan glanced back over his shoulder, seeing that the smeared pillar of golden cloud was being dissipated over the sea, meaning that the eruption had passed for the time being. As far as he could tell, the plans that had evolved from their long meetings over the best hope of defensive success had been followed. All around the perimeter of the Institute were armed men and women. Ryan and JB had paced out the walls together, seeking dead ground, finding the best points to defend, with the widest lines of fire. Now everyone was waiting, their fingers on triggers, crouched inside windows and behind walls. Dean came running back, dodging to left and right, showing an uncanny sense of what was safe ground, out of sight of the heavy machine gun on the front of the war wag.
Boats!
How many?
Two south and one north.
How far?
A mile or more.
Fast or slow?
About 20 minutes away from us.
Men?
Too far to make them, but the boats don't look too big.
Tomlin, three boats, one to the north and two to the south. Can you send any of your dolphins out after them? Turn them over?
The scientist considered the question for longer than Ryan welcomed.
Probably too little time. I'll see what Miranda can do with them.
It's worth a try.
They're close to the bridge, Ryan.
The war wag was within a dozen yards of the far side of the flimsy wooden bridge. Ryan's first plan had been to cut it down, or weaken it, but his second plan on the previous evening had seemed much better. Another couple of minutes, and he'd find out whether he'd been right. Over to the right, he heard a rifle being fired, and he saw the tiny puff of smoke from the corner of one of the storerooms.
Waste of time.
Yeah.
Yeovil kept his crew on a tighter rein. There hadn't been a single round fired toward the defenders. The war wag's unseen driver was having a lot of trouble holding the engine in the low gear he wanted. It was clear that his concentration was wandering, as the tracked vehicle would suddenly shudder and kick sideways. The speed had dropped below walking pace, the two smaller vehicles crowding in close behind the wag. The tracks chewed up the sand, throwing it out in a blinding sheet, obscuring the men and women on foot.
Hold your fire! Don't waste the ammo on what you can't see!
Slightly to Ryan's surprise, Tomlin's people obeyed his order. They were all amateurs when it came to facing blasters, and Ryan knew the temptation to pull the trigger and keep pulling it, even when the hammer had clicked a dozen times on a spent cartridge. The lead wag had just reached the far side of the trestle bridge. Ryan picked up his SSG-70 Steyr bolt-action rifle, cradling the smooth walnut stock to his shoulder, sliding one of the 10 full metal jacket rounds into the breech. The dawn was well advanced, and Ryan didn't need the Starlight Nightscope, but the laser image enhancer was going to be useful. To Ryan's left, someone's nerve didn't hold out, and he heard a carbine crack. It had been a wasted round, but at least it had been an accurate wasted round. It prompted a response from Yildiz's gang. The machine gun opened fire, a raking burst of lead splattering the wall and gate of the Institute. A young woman standing next to Mark Tomlin dropped like a dead weight, a neat hole through her forehead.
Keep down. Keep flat behind the walls if you can.
The bullet that had killed the woman had driven clean through the main gate. Ryan guessed that that was the voice of Yeovil, though he couldn't quite make out what the leader of the pirates was saying. There was no further shooting from the machine gun, and the war wag began to roll ponderously toward the middle of the bridge, slewing dangerously to the left until the driver managed to correct the yawing movement. Ryan leveled the Steyr, drew a careful bead on the op slit behind which the driver was sitting, then let the laser sight drift lower, down the sloping armored front of the wag, onto the scarred timbers of the bridge. Lower still, into the shadows, where there were uneven piles of sand.
They're over halfway.
Yeah.
Cheek against the stock, right eye squinting through the sight, he pulled the trigger.
Missed.
Fire blast.
Missed again. Make it a couple inches right.
Ryan made the minute correction, then fired the Steyr a third time.
Come on, Dad! Nearly off the bridge!
You want me to open up with the Uzi? Spray him with a burst? Might be best.
Ryan shook his head at JB's suggestion, for the fourth time aiming below the bridge, where nearly 200 gallons of gas were buried in large cans. The problem was that they had to be well enough hidden so that none of Yeovil's skirmishers spotted them and diverted the war wag away from the bridge, but they were proving to be too well concealed. Ryan couldn't work out precisely where they lay beneath the thin covering of sand. When the war wag had stopped for a moment, two-thirds of the way over, one of the smaller vehicles close behind it, the second wag a few yards back. If he missed again, the heavy armored vehicle would rumble unchecked into the Institute, providing cover for the rest of the gang. And the fight could well be over before it even got started. It was the kind of scene that would have driven any Sticky over the brink of orgasmic delight. A combination of a deafening roar and a spectacular explosion of smoky orange flames that rose a good 100 feet into the Florida morning, enclosing the war wag in a sea of solid fire. Over the noise of the raging flames, they could all hear the screams.
May the gods of earth and water have mercy on their souls.
Hot piping ace, Dad!
Dean danced up and down, his heavy blaster waving triumphantly in his diminutive fist.
It doesn't win it for us. The job's not over. Mildred, JB, shoot anyone who gets out.
The gasoline explosion had been so horrifically violent and rapid that pirates traveling inside the two wags had no chance. Only one of them was even able to get free as far as the turret of the trapped war wag, appearing for a moment, standing upright amidst the inferno. It wasn't possible to tell whether it was a man or a woman. Just a dark figure, clothes blazing, hair flashing to a scorched stubble in half a second. The arms were raised, fingers spread, the blinded, blackened face turning helplessly and hopelessly from side to side. Mildred lifted her target blaster, steadying it, then lowered it again.
Not a lot of point, is there?
She watched the figure of the pirate fall to its knees, head hunching into the shoulders, before it rolled over like a charred collection of withered branches, vanishing into the burning lake of fuel.
Mother of God!
In less than 2 minutes, the desiccated timbers of the trestle bridge burned through enough to allow the war wag to tip gracefully forward. Its glowing iron tumbled through into the dry sandy creek below, followed less than a half a minute later by the smaller armored wag. There was no possibility of survivors. JB called out a warning to all the defenders to keep low and undercover, guessing rightly that the attackers would open fire, which they did, with a prolonged burst of shooting all along their front. Most of the bullets were wildly aimed and flew wide or high. A few tore chunks from the walls or shattered windows or ripped away long splinters of white wood from the gates. But it was a weak gesture, very poorly directed,